Well, welcome to a conversation about the in advance of the Irish referendum, which is about marriage equality or gay marriage, or basically extending to everyone in Ireland the right to get married, no matter whether they're a man wanting to marry a woman, a man wanting to marry a man, a woman wanting to marry a woman. So I'm with Shirley Gallagher, and we're going to have a conversation about this. Shirley, would you like to start off? What's your perspective?
I suppose my perspective as a heterosexual woman that has never been married is, you know, it really is up to the individual. And, you know, today Irish society has changed dramatically since the Irish society that I grew up in, where there were lots of things hidden in corners and in big holes and in graves, and that's a different society than now. And, you know, homosexuality is accepted in the most places here, and I feel that everyone should have a right to get married whether they want to, you know. And really, for me, marriage is about, it's the legality, and it's, you know, kind of what happens when you die, or... And it's the stuff that is remembered kind of in history, you know, was somebody married or not. So I think it's recognising that it is a human right. And that's really what the marriage referendum is for me.
And that point of view, Shirley, is very much the point of view of a lot of people on the yes side in the referendum. And I noticed there that you said that most people in Ireland now have changed their point of view. But let me put to you one of the points of view of the no side, which is that marriage has always been seen, going back in history as long as you like, as a relationship, as a contract between a man and a woman. And many of the no side would say that that's the status quo, that's the language we've inherited, and surely we should pay respect and honour that traditional point of view.
Well, I personally feel that, you know, what they do is their business. And, you know, if gay people want to marry, that's their business, and it's nothing to do with me.
And if gay people want to get married, and some gay people will want to get married, and I presume there'll be other gay people who will not want to get married, do you not think that, for example, the example of gay people getting married will not be offensive and a scandal to the those who are against it, and those who haven't yet been persuaded that it is a human right?
I don't know. I mean, I can't speak for somebody that it would be opposed, or, you know, that are anti the norm. You know, I personally believe in diversity, and I think it's good to have diverse people and diverse opinions. And I suppose for me, you know, the saying no, I don't see the, you know, they say that it's going to dilute their marriage vows, that it's going to affect them. I don't see how it has any effect on them. You know, it is a legal contract that is recognised in the law. And as I said, I've never bothered doing it myself, but I do believe that it, you know, I would have a high value on marriage, and I feel that if people want to get married, let them.
And I understand that, and I also understand your position to be that people who don't want to marry don't approve of men marrying men and women marrying women, that they're, I think you would say, entitled to their point of view, but they're not entitled to restrict other people from following their wishes. Would that be right?
That's exactly it, yeah.
And tell me, are there any particular things in your life that have persuaded you to come around to this point of view? Or did you grow up with it from the very beginning?
Well, I suppose, you know, like I was a teenager in the 80s, which as, you know, I the Magdalen Laundry shut down in 1993. And, you know, it was a very different Ireland in those days. I'm not saying it was better. I'm not saying it was worse. It was different. And, you know, we have much more acceptance today. And I think that's a good thing. I'm going off track a little. And I suppose I do have a gay cousin. I do have gay friends. And my gay cousin met another gay person in America when he was on holidays. And they continue to date. And basically, only for there was legal marriage in the UK at the time, they actually could physically live in the same country on the same continent. And, you know, it just made perfect sense to me that they should be allowed to do this. They're very happy together. They're very different people. But they're very... they look after each other in different ways, and they're very settled in they're living in England. They do come and visit rural Ireland, and they are accepted. They're loved by their family, and I have a very positive feeling about, you know, they got married, I think, about 6 or 7 years ago, which was, I don't know, sometime in the noughties. And it was my first gay marriage, and I thought it would be all lipstick and wigs, and I was really disappointed. And it was one of the hottest days in London, around about 40 degrees, and they just dressed in very nice suits, and all their friends, because they've got quite a few... what do you call them? Transvestites.
Oh, yes, right.
But they wouldn't wear the get-up in the heat, so I was a bit disappointed in that. But, yeah, no, I mean, it's, as I said, diversity is good, and it just gives you a more open approach to different aspects of your life if you can kind of accept the diversity of others.
It sounds to me as if you've lived, and I know this to be true, you've lived in other countries.
I have.
You've moved around a lot between different countries. So you come from, you know, a life and a lifestyle where diversity is normal, we'll say, or, you know, yes. Now, do you really think that Ireland, which has, I would say, not half as much experience of diversity as, let's say, the UK, do you really think that the more homogeneous Ireland is ready, really, for the degree of diversity that would have to be accepted for a yes vote to go through?
I do. And actually, I have spoken to people in the no camp, and they're appalled that this will go through. You know, but they feel that, you know, we're on this kind of liberal, happy clappy, you know, let people be people, and they feel very strongly that they're a lone voice in the crowd. But I recently was in Poland, last in 2014, and I was struck by the homogeneity of the country. You know, it's pretty much all Poles now. I was living in a city in Wrocław where, you know, there was quite an international group. We actually went out on an international day out, and there was 15 countries represented in a group of 30. But it's a very homogeneous country. There's 40 million Poles. They all speak Polish. They all speak about 5 different languages. Anyone under 40 will speak English very, very well. Anyone over 40, not so much. But they speak Russian, and you know, most of them speak German. So in many ways, they approach different cultures better than us, but they're very regressive in the kind of sphere of homosexuality. People marry young there, as we did 20, 30 years ago, and they have children young, and it's a very much the traditional society that we had.
Is homosexuality legal in Poland?
I don't know, but it was very, and it didn't really dawn on me until I went into a pub one night, and I kind of thought, I think this might be a gay bar. But I didn't know anyone. I wasn't with Polish people. I was in an international community on climate change, as it happens. And I didn't have the nerve to ask someone, you know. But it wasn't out and out as it would be, say, in London or even in Cork. But it did strike me, you know, like, and most people would go to mass on a Sunday, you know, which is rare nowadays in Ireland. There's, you know, I can count on one hand the number of friends that go to mass, and nearly, if you do go to mass, you're kind of, you're perceived as a dinosaur in this country now. And really the only people that it appears to me that would go to mass or go to church or go to some kind of religion, you know, if they have children. And I did bring my child up in the Catholic faith. I did feel it was important to bring someone up in a faith, because you can't, you know, it's easier to have it and choose to discard it if you want. But, you know, like, there's a lot of things that I would be very opposed to in Catholicism. But the great thing I think about Catholicism is you can take what you like and leave the rest.
Well, I'm not sure that every Roman Catholic would agree with you about that. But let me take you to the.
But Protestantism is much more clear cut, and it's, you know, and I haven't lived. I spent 10 years in Belfast, and seeing that dichotomy, and you know, the lengths people would go to as a result of religion, I feel it's much more a pick and mix. Here.
Okay, let me draw you back to the referendum, right, in that sense. And let me put to you the point of view which I think is coming through very strongly from the no side. And it concerns children, really. Now, the no side will argue, or do argue, that every child has the right to have a mother and a father. So that's one point of view that they have. And the second thing is that they'll argue that if the parents of a child are of the same gender, that this will be bad for the child. So there's two types of arguments there, but they both focus on children. Now, what's your own point of view on either of those?
My own point of view is that there are bad parents of every gender. And, you know, what's the term for sexuality, is it?
The sexual orientation.
I don't think sexual orientation has any bearing on child rearing as such. I do feel, you know, children will slag, and children can be very cruel. And, you know, my daughter grew up as my only daughter, and I was a single parent. And that was very... she was discriminated against as a child. And that was something I couldn't protect her from. You know, children will find holes in, you know, they will try and discriminate, they will try and hurt. You know, it is part of learning. And I just see that as we've moved on, we have accepted single parents, we have accepted, you know, that people will not stay in a relationship because of X, Y, and Z. And this is us moving forward again.
And tell me, what do you say? This is the last question, really. What do you say to people who would say that, look, if we legalise marriage for gay people. Does that mean that we have to put up with, you know, gay people walking down the street holding hands, or two women kissing in public park, or two men embracing? What's your stance on this?
Public displays of affection?
Public displays of affection. At present, I think it's fair to say that there are relatively few gay people who will walk down the streets holding hands, and there are relatively few who will kiss each other in public.
I would agree with you. And even in London, which I would say is probably one of the gay capitals of the world, it's not noticeable, shall I put it like that? I was in Paris one time with a boyfriend on holiday, and we were walking in the Luxembourg Gardens, and there were two men lying on the grass, beautiful summer's day, snogging. And as I was walking past, I made the remark, "That's interesting." I said, "You wouldn't see that in Cork." And my boyfriend was very, very shocked. And he had a very funny face. You know, he was just kind of very shocked and appalled, I would say. And some guy passed us and could actually understand what we were saying. Bear in mind, we're in Paris. And he was laughing at my boyfriend's reaction. And I think that kind of explains my opinion on it. I have been in gay bars and places like that in London with friends. I do have gay friends here in Ireland. And I think they bring a different look on society, and I think society without them would be much weaker.
So look, maybe that's a good place to stop. There's just one thing I want to clarify, is that during this conversation, I haven't stated my own opinion at all. And that was very deliberate, because I wanted to draw out your opinion. I hope you haven't minded that.
Not at all, no.
Okay, Shirley Gallagher, thank you very much.
You're welcome. So...